Okay, we're on Tef Svava Menalov.
So we sitting next to me, it must be...
Well, we have a special guest here, those of you who are online. We have Joey Pollack here in the room, which is a special treat for the entire shiur. Let's just hope he doesn't ask any questions on the parasha. Okay. So...
What's the occasion?
I really don't. I think that he. I think
what's
that,
the occasion?
I just think that he. Joey, they're asking what the occasion is for your attending.
He made a mistake. He thought it was.
I think he made a mistake. He thought he saw it was Baya, and it turns out it wasn't Baya.
This isn't going to do very well for recruiting new people.
It's okay. We welcome anybody who comes here, regardless of why they're here, even if you don't realize what Masafta we're learning. Anyway, this is a very interesting blot tonight. So you picked a good night. You picked a good night to come here. Masiv, no. What are we up to? Up to the question? Right. So let's review. What are we talking about? We're talking about we have a machlekes of Yerkin and Rish Lakish. What was the machlekes? Somebody remind me.
About the ants.
The question, don't tell me about the ants. What was their machlokes about? Their machlokes was about if someone goes ahead and is mireach shalom idas chaveira. That was the shiloh, right? So Rabbi Yochanan says it is a good mirach, and Rish Lakish says it's not a good mirach. Is that right?
That's correct.
Yeah. So now Rish Lakish had his shot at Rabbi Yochanan. He asked him a page of questions. This page, as I promised, would be questions back from Rabbi Yochanan to Rish Lakish. Again, Rish Lakish's position that if you do mirach shalom idati, it's not a mirach. Frek Rabbi Yochanan Hosninon, there's a Mishnah. Hikdishon shalom nigmaru, our Mishnah. It says, if you're, no, maybe it isn't our Mishnah. Who's this for? It appears in Peah 4 or 5. Sorry, it's not our Mishnah. It says, if you are Makdish, what? The Peros. Let's say Tvua. At Shalom Yigmaru, before it had finished, before the pile was smooth, the Gemara and Gizbar, and the Gizbar, the ones in charge of Hektish, he finished them. He finished off the pile. V'yachakapadayin, and then you redeemed the Tvua after it was Nigmar Malachdon, Torah, and their Pater from Maestras. Because at the Shas Mirach, it was Hektish. Frek the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan says, an observation, how do you view a Gizbar? Hare Gizbar ka'acherhu. It's like someone, an outsider, because after all, who is Hektish after all? The Rebbeinu Shalom, I guess. I mean, I'm not sure if it's Rebbeinu Shalom Alein, or it's an entity called Hektish, whatever you want to call it, but it's not the Gizbar.
We had this discussion in Yerushalmi earlier about how to look at Gizbar.
Oh, it's not the owner.
If he's considered the
Rebbeinu Yochanan is assuming that he's like an acher. But we said whatever he does is does. It's mirach. It's going to be right here. So Amalei, so Rish Lakish answers him, Tiftar Kaman Damar Gizbar Kabalim. So I hold that it's like he's like the owner. Udulak Rabbi Yosi, not like Rabbi Yosi. Rabbi Yosi Amar who Gizbar who Acha. Rabbi Yosi says that he's like another person. Okay, so we have a Machlekes Tanoim. Apparently, where is it? It's in Trumas. Yeah, in number 8, I think he brings it down over here. The Gemara says there, Trumas 1:1, that according to the one Tana, the temple treasurer is regarded as the owner of the consecrated property. According to the other, you see, he's not regarded as the owner, but merely a caretaker. Okay. Anyway, so Rish Lakish is explaining that the Mishnah in Peah follows the view, in other words, that Mishnah that says that you go after the Shas Miruach to say that the Gizbar that did the Miruach is a good Miruach and it's considered like it's Mirchai Hektish and therefore it is Pater from Maestras. That's going like the Mandi Yomra who holds what? That he's the Bailam. But I hold, me personally, Rish Lakish says, I don't hold that way. According to me, it would not be good. Okay? Next. Now, here's another one. It said, the introductory remarks here says we're talking about the case where The woman give the baker their individual portions, which is not none of which was a shear of challah. And then the baker goes ahead and joins them all together, and then that's not chayav of challah. So the Mishnah says, the Mishnah is mashma, but notice that it says the ein be'echad mehem kedesh challah, that none of the woman that gave the baker had the shear challah. What's that mashma? What if one of them had the shear challah? Well, let's see what the diak is. Rav Hananya, Chavron, Rabban, and Boy. So they wanted to make the following question. Let me address what your question, because in the end of the paragraph it says, this implies that if any of the woman's individual portions is large enough, all of the sourdough is subject to challah. All of it. So he is assuming... Because they were mitzarev to an Esau, which was, I don't know, maybe. So the Rav Hananya Chavron de Rabbanan, see, he was our colleague of the rabbis. Why he was called that, it says over here. He had not been ordained. Yeah. Okay, so they call him a chaver. I guess that's the smichas chaver we all talk about. So since sourdough is destined to be mixed into an unfinished product, which is, think about it, what's sourdough going to be used for? We're going to take sourdough, we're going to add it to flour and water as we're making a new dough. So when the sourdough hits that mixture of water and flour before it's been mixed together, at that point, it's being added to something which is completely putter, an unfinished product. Even if in the flour is it sufficient to require challah by itself, but let the sourdough be treated as produce whose processing is unfinished. It should be put from challah.
Why Lucy is that? Why is that unfinished?
It's unfinished.
Because the sourdough itself is not edible.
The sourdough itself is not, right. We said the sourdough itself is not going to be edible.
It's the starter.
Yeah, the starter, and therefore it's going to be added to unneeded flour and water. So therefore, even if one of them has the shear. Okay, now Rav Hananya provides a source for this premise, the produce that is completely processed, but eventually will be mixed into an unprocessed product, is considered unprocessed, and this is his raya. Okay, so this one we had also. So they said, so this is talking about a guy who goes to the side of the remember we have the guy, we have the two sides of the press, right? You press down the grapes in an upper vat, it goes down the chute. I even sent you a picture of one of these from Eretz Yisrael at the time, and it goes into a lower area. Now when it gets to the lower area, it still has a mixture of wine and sediment, and it's not until you filter out the sediment that it's considered nigmar malakto. Now, if someone goes ahead and takes a flask and pulls out the wine from the top before it is nigmar malakto, but now the question is why? Why don't you say, because he was careful when he filled his flask to only take wine and not any of the seeds? But the Gemara is asking a question. Why, when it goes into the flask, is the flask a Gemara Malacha on what's in the flask? And the Gemara's answer to that question is because he's going to return whatever he doesn't drink in the flask back in to the rest of the vat. So that's the Gemara's raya. The Gemara's using this as a raya. You see that even though something was Nigmar Malachto, if it's Sofo, Lipol, Ledover, Shalom Nigmar Malachto, that it is continues to be part of Hermeisrus. That's the right, okay? Here it goes. So that's the proof. So that was their question. Their question was, why is our Mishnah, right? This is the question they're asking. Why in our Mishnah is it mashma that if you had a woman who had a shear, that it would be chayv and challah? What's the difference? Even if it's all going to eventually, he's asking like this, eventually, the starter is going to fall into flour and water, which is not nigmar, not, and therefore it should become putter from that reason. The Gemara does not answer this question.
Four. It's not related to Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish. It's not the question.
Is this related to Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish? Probably not. Yeah, I guess not. Okay, the way we're learning, the way we're, maybe there's another mahalach that where it is related, but so far it doesn't seem to be related.
Very cool, this mashna,
this way, it's not related. Yeah. Filur Rabbi Yochanan. Yeah. Okay. Now, the Gemara goes into the dog food, okay? As Zoe says, klovim. What's dough for dogs? Joey, when you want to give your dog a lot of dough, what do you do?
Give him $100
bills. Give him $100 bill, that's it. That's dough for dogs. Rav Shimon Lakish Omar, I knew there was a reason you were here tonight. Kol she'ir bar morson. So Rav Lakish says the definition of dog dough is you mix in this a substantial amount of coarse bran. And so the ingredients are what tell us that this is dog food, right? Masisomri brings a proof. Mismacha roi maiklami menotz. And the Mishnah says that when the shepherds eat from it, so then it has one halacha. It's chayiv in kala. But it's not, that's mashma, palmim. Shein haroi maiklami menotz. Sometimes they won't eat from it. What will that depend on? That means how much worsen is found in the mixture. That sounds like a real strong answer here. That's Rish Lakish's definition. Rabbi Yochanan says no. He argues on Rish Lakish. He says it's not totally in the amount of morson or whether there is morson or not morson. It's totally in the shape of the bread. Kol she'asa ka'oven, if you make it in the form of loaves, so they won't eat from it. Board. There's boards and there's loaves. I don't see the word boards here. Anyway, whatever it is, there's two ways to make the bread. You can make it into a loaf, like a rye bread,
a human loaf,
or you can make it like a flat board, which has no shape, which is not appetizing. It has no, it's not appealing. It's not appealing to the eye. That's dog food because a dog is not interested in whether it looks like a nice loaf or not.
No aesthetics.
No aesthetics. He says that there's a, no, oven means, he says, translates as loaves. But the boards, he doesn't have a word for here. So it says, kosher also b' oven, so the shepherds will eat from any bread which is made in the shape of loaves. Right. And so basically, what Bjarkin is saying, so even if it doesn't have morson, if it's made flat boards, that's going to be, right. So he brings proof, it's only Cain. That's the word. The board is limudin. So if you make it in the shape of boards, you're potter. So let's go to Amud Beis. And we have a third opinion here. Rabbah b'shem Shmuel. Rabbami b'shem Rabbi Chiba Uban. We have another third opinion here. Afilo asa kaluskin. Even if he made a loaf of fine flour. So what he's saying here is like this. He's got an extreme opinion here. Not only is it not totally in ingredients, not only is it not totally in the shape, you could make it out of the best, finest flour, and you can make it into the most beautiful loaf. And afilu hachi,
whatever the yichud is.
What is your mind? What is your designation? When I say, this is for the dogs, you shepherds, don't you touch, this food. This is not for you. This is for the dog. And the shepherds say, oh, this is dog food. We're not going to touch it. That's what decides whether it's chayv in kala or not. Okay, very interesting. In fact, the Gemara v'hatnin on imein haroyin oichlen imena says it sounds like that they're like Rish Lakish said. It sounds like sometimes they will eat from it, sometimes they won't eat from it, based on the ingredients. But according to him, it's not a discussion. If it's designated for the dogs, they're never going to eat from it. So what does it mean if they don't eat it? If they do eat, what does that mean? My answer is tiftar. Then from the very start, it was made that they shouldn't eat from it. So when it says if they don't eat from it, it doesn't mean that they decided on their own not to eat from it. It means that they were told by the Baal Basta that made it, you're not to eat it. It was made with this intention from the beginning. All right. That's quite a machloikus. Three shittas. All right. Yeah. Okay. Now, Nasis B'Yontif. It's made. It's you can make it on Yontif. In other words, if the shepherds will be eating from this dough, from this bread rather, then you could bake it on Yontif. Even though they may not be eating all of it, like some of it will be eaten by Rover. Any other names? What other name can you call the dog? What's your dog? What's your dog's name?
Charlie.
Charlie and Rover.
Lassie.
Lassie. What?
Buster.
Lester?
Buster.
Buster.
Buster. Okay, Buster. Buster.
Buster with a B.
Buster Brown. Of course, I remember those shoes with the little brown dog in the back of it. Okay. But now this is Miyantiv. It's made on Yantiv. Masisa Dor Shimon Elazar. The Tony Enoisim Miyantiv Lumitzah Yantiv. You're not allowed to bake something on Yantiv that it should be eaten after Yantiv. Tony. And the same Bryce has said, Mamali Shukadera Basa, that woman can fill up a whole pot of meat to cook on Yantiv. Even though she's only eating one piece. She can fill up a whole big kettle of water. Even if she's only... So it has Masechtas Beitza here. Mamash, it comes right in. Even though she's only drinking one cup, she can fill up a whole urn of water. But when it comes to making a bread, she can only bake what she needs for Yantav. So Reb Shimon Elazar, argued, and he said, what? He said, Mamalahi Isha es hatanur pas menesha pas yafa b'sha shatanur molei.
Even though
you only need one loaf, but when you have the whole oven is filled and packed with breads, it makes all the breads taste better. So Mamela, oh, you can remember smell the French bakery over here. So bottom line is what? So what's
the chiluk between Afia and...
Okay.
Before that point, what's the chiluk between Afia and Kumkum
So what's the difference? The difference is that there are other malachas involved. I believe that's the difference. You see that?
The Rosh Shulio says to call Kikor v'Kikor Tzricha Fi
Radiyah. Number 10.
Number 10.
Number 10. Yeah.
Just as a woman is permitted to bake loaves, it will not be eaten on Yantif, even though it's generally forbidden to cook or bake on Yantif, what does not eat for that day, because the baking of the extra loaves enhances baking of the bread of the so to one. Yeah, where is he explaining why it's also?
According to
the Tanakhama, however, who rules, you may not bake on Yantif more bread than one needs. It would be forbidden to bake dough for dogs on Yantif. Where is it showing what the reason is?
The Rosh Shulio says the kol kikor v'kikor tzricha fi radilas.
It needs separate malachas.
It's not just one shot.
Right.
Changes the
gear set. Even though each loaf of bread requires its own act of placement and removal from the oven, Reb Shimon Elazar permits the woman to fill her oven with bread, since the additional loaves improve the quality of the bread she will use on Yontif. Okay, that's his reason. And number 8, according to this Tana, it's forbidden to bake more than one needs a Yontif, since each loaf of bread requires its own act of baking. An additional malacha is prohibited if the added bread is not needed for Yantav, Marafolda. This prohibition can be applied to cooking meat as well, where the pot is already on the fire and an additional action, such as placing the meat in the pot, is required to cook the meat. Since additional malacha is required, it doesn't go into the act of Reba Bishu or him. Okay, that's what he says.
Well, he says that Marafolda says that there's tircha in each bread.
Same thing as Rosh Hashanah.
Each kicker needs its own malacha. Yeah.
As opposed to a pot of beef.
Let's try to focus in first. Now, what the Gemara is trying to prove from this. So what are we talking about? So we started off with the fact that the Roim are you're allowed to bake the bread for the dogs, if the Roim are eating from it. Even though the Roim are not eating all of it, they're only eating part of it. And the Gemara said, the Masnisin Reb Shimon Elazar, right? That's his name, right? Did I get it right?
Yeah,
Reb Shimon Elazar. That who holds that what? You can, because, in other words, the dog part of the bread will make the rest of the bread taste better. So presumably that's why it's mutter to bake bread, even though you're not allowed to bake bread for a dog on Yom Tov. Okay? That's the point. Okay, next point.
Means you're cooking the dog part together.
With the human part, yeah. Tony, matzah gzula, also levar halal. So over here, you're not allowed to make a bracha on stolen matzah, right? Amar b'hayshia, Hashem, this is the famous pasuk, it would say, Beirach, Ni'etz Hashem, one of the most famous psukim. A thief who recites a blessing has blasphemed Hashem. Hadorat tema b'tchila. So Rav Hashia said, this is only true if it's the beginning. That means it's hamaitzi, ra'al achilas matzah. Aval b'saif, what about berachas hamazon? Loi. That one, then it wouldn't apply. In other words, you're not allowed to make a berachas hamaitzi, but after you ate the matzah gzula, do you have to bench? So he says, Rav Hashia says, yes, you do. Domim hu chayev lo. Because as far as the avera is concerned, that's gone now. One of my chayev to you, I stole my matzah from Shopsy. So and then I ate it. So what's left? I owe him the value of the matzah. So I owe him $10, right? But as far as we're going for is concerned, I'm full. I have to bench, right? It's like the famous Reb Kiveger by the bar mitzvah boy, right? He ate while he was a cotton. And now he's full when he becomes a gadol. So he should have to bench. Because what's the machayev of benching? Being full. The machayev wasn't the achila. The achila was taka be'isser. But now you're full. That's what it sounds like from over here, no? Is it a tzushta? Yeah, he actually asked for that. Okay.
And he's yoytze.
What? He's yoytze what? Yeah. Yoytze, he's chayev, actually.
No.
He's chayev to bench.
Chayev to bench. Is he yoytze achilas matzah?
Oh, is he yoytze achilas matzah? That's a good kasha. What do you think?
The goin says,
but the ever yoytze the mitzvah matzah? Wow.
After shalach, I'll hear shalach.
Isn't it, in other words, when does the shinui take place?
He's chewing it.
Well, when does that take place? So you're telling me the shinui takes place in his mouth.
Yeah.
At that moment that the shinui takes place.
When he swallows it, he's roasted.
You think that when the shinui takes place that it's still roy to be considered matzah? Something that you chewed up? Something that you chewed up?
He's swallowing it, so it's roy
lechilah.
Okay.
Why is it different than lulav? No, because lulav, there's no point at which it becomes his.
It doesn't change, right? That's an excellent question. What does Pain Moshe say? Loi domim hu chayev loi? He says, Kli Marsha, ein lo ala ala l'shalim domim. Aval hamatza atzma kvar kono av harei shaloi. He doesn't say whether you yotzei or not.
He brings it to mitzvah baba
veir. Who's he?
He says that the Ritva and Sukkah says that he's yotzei. The Ritva and Yerushalmi says that he's not yotzei because it's a mitzvah baba
veir. Mitzvah baba veir. Okay, yeah, okay.
He's saying that on this sheet or Rabbi Yona comes and says, ain't aveir mitzvah.
Okay, we're going to have other sheets coming up. So far, in Rabbi Hoshia, though, it sounds like he has an interesting shita, domim hu chayev, and now we go further and we look at you're full, you have to bench. That's his shita. Rabbi Yoina Amar in avera mitzvah. No, reciting the mitzvah berachas hamazon will come as a result of theft of matzah. It cannot be recited. That's what it says over here.
But is that the same as mitzvah baba avera? What did Rabbi Yonah say? I don't think so, necessarily.
No, you don't think so?
Doesn't Mitzvah Baba Vera have to come at the same time? When you stole it, it was one time, and then later...
Take a look at the last Rosh Cirilio on the page.
So swallowing it. So the mitzvah...
The Avera has to come at the same time.
Right, but you steal it only when the Shinoi is made. The Gazela happens only when the Shinoi is made. That's how you code it.
Take a look at the last. I see it. See, there's a long Rosh Cirilio at the bottom here. If you see the last, it's a big piece. Let's do the one before it. Ein avera mitzvah. Let's do the one before it. It's a little shorter. Havera atzma lo taxo lias mitzvah. That the avera itself cannot return to become a mitzvah. Tain aver be'en hu denofik, hekuch lo nofik, havakan aver lochud, umitzvah lochud. Ve'en mitzvah aveira, ein mitzvah shum tzad aveira, k'nam farish, im asiyosan k'mitzvason, ein mitzvah. If you do it correctly, then it's a mitzvah. Ve'en lav ein on mitzvah, selkuch lo yotza, afil b'diavid. V'chein das haramam, de lo yotza, v'yesh kolken.
That's Rabbi Yosi.
What?
This next Rashi is Rabbi Yosi, who says
ain't. Oh, I'm sorry. You're right. I'm mixing up two things.
He's learning it's a Machloekes that Rabbi Yosi. Sorry, let me not read the
I'm not doing it in order. Sorry, let me go back again. So we had first Rabbi Yosi who said that you could bench. Then you had Rabbi Yosi who said ain't aveira mitzvah. Then the next page, it says Rabbi Yosi says ain't mitzvah aveira. What's the difference between Rabbi Yosi and Rabbi Yosi? Let's see. So some people maintain, right? So the English at the top says that he's just saying the same thing. He's just expressing it differently. Others maintain that he disagrees with Rabbi Yosi and holds the fulfillment of a mitzvah cannot constitute a transgression, and thus the thief would fulfill the obligation of eating matzah. The fulfillment of a mitzvah cannot constitute a transgression. Very interesting. He's saying, by definition, the fact that I'm being mekayim a mitzvah, by definition, cannot be an avera.
It's like if you borrow right. Somebody's tefillin without asking them, you assume that they would have wanted you to fulfill a mitzvah with them, so therefore it's kind of okay.
But there it is okay. But I can't steal
matzah.
That's not okay. That's not okay.
According to this, he's saying it is okay.
He's almost saying a definition that the fact that I've made something into a mitzvah, it can't be an avera.
Yeah, l'chachilah is really
can't do it. I mean, if I can, luckily, but it's a funny thing. It's a funny. That's a very funny way.
That uproots the whole thing.
It uproots it.
Of fulfilling a mitzvah above avera, gets rid of the whole thing.
Right. That's true. Okay. It's a whole sugi over here. Let's go right there. Amar Rav Hila, Eilah HaMitzvahs. He says a very pashut. He concurs with this whole thing. I love the way he just quotes the pasuk. Eilah HaMitzvahs. The Torah says, these are the commandments that I gave you to do, right? Im asison k'mitzvason, hey mitzvahs. If you do it the way I commanded it, then it's a mitzvah. Im lav, it's not a mitzvah. Don't go, make up your own rules. I set the rules. I set the agenda, and you got to follow my agenda. Okay? And that's it. He quotes the Mitzvah Bava Avera. It says, Shailam Yishayim, whether Mitzvah Bava Avera is only a real thing or the drawn. Okay. I'll keep on. That's the end of Daf Tesvav. I'm going to close the